He was a large man, not a member of what Burton thought of as his group. He had followed them, and others were scrambling up on the rock. Burton reached down past the containers into the cylinder and gripped the small, silvery, rectangular object on the bottom. Friggett had said this might be a lighter. Burton didn't know what a lighter was, but he suspected that it provided flame for the cigarettes. He kept the object in the palm of his hand, and with the other he closed the lid. His mouth was watering and his belly was rumbling. The others were just as eager as he. Their expression showed that they couldn't understand why he was not removing the food. The large man said in a loud, blustery, Triestine Italian, "I'm hungry, and I'll kill anybody who tries to stop me. Open that." The others said nothing, but it was evident that they expected Burton to take the lead in the defense. Instead, he said, "Open it yourself," and turned away. The others hesitated. They had seen and smelled the food. Kaz was drooling, but Burton said, "Look at that mob. There'll be a fight here in a minute. I say, let them fight over their morsels. Not that I'm avoiding a battle, you understand," he added, looking fiercely at them, "but I'm certain that we'll all have our own cylinders full of food by supper time. These cylinders, call them grails, if you please, just need to be left on the rock to be filled. That's obvious. That's why this grail was placed here." He walked to the edge of the stone near the water and got off. By then, the top was jammed with people and more were trying to get on. The large man had seized a stake and bitten into it, but someone had tried to snatch it away from him. He yelled with fury and suddenly rammed through those between him and the river. He went over the edge and into the water, emerging a moment later. In the meantime, men and women were screaming and striking each other over the rest of the food and goods in the cylinder. The man who had jumped into the river floated off on his back while he ate the rest of the steak. Burton watched him closely, half expecting him to be seized by fish, but he drifted on down the stream, undisturbed. The rocks to the north and south, on both sides of the river, were crowded with struggling humans. Burton walked until he was free of the crowd and sat down. His group squatted by him or stood up and watched the writhing and noisy mass. The grailstone looked like a toadstool engulfed in pale maggots, very noisy maggots. Some of them were also now red because blood had been spilled. The most depressing aspect of the scene was the reaction of the children. The young ones had stayed back from the rock, but they knew that there was food in the grail. They were crying from hunger and from terror caused by the screaming and fighting of the adults on the stone. The little girl with Burton was dry-eyed, but she was shaking. She stood by Burton and put her arms around his neck. He patted her on the back and murmured encouraging words which she could not understand, but the tone of which helped to quiet her. The sun was on its descent. Within about 2 hours, it would be hidden by the towering western mountain, though a genuine dusk presumably wouldn't happen for many hours.